Good morning, debaters.
Hello.
Well, how do we, yeah, good everything.
My hope is that some people dial this right up in the morning.
Stretch, have a cup of coffee, and put on my podcast.
You know what I mean? I've got a morning topic for you.
Great.
Yeah.
Get your mental juices flowing. Mm. Healy, taking the pro. Brazil is a classy country.
Okay. I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro. What do we mean by the word classy?
Ugh.
Jesus. Generally, you hear this word used by sort of like mook type guys, Long Island sort of dudes, to mean like they pay respect when it's due. They the classy move, classy guy. You hear sportscasters talk about being classy. It generally means like being respectful, being cool, like having a sort of civilized attitude that you're like you're the bigger man. And I think Brazil as a country is consistently classy. They don't invade other countries. They don't throw their weight around in the world. They hosted the Olympics. Very classy thing to do for other countries. Worked out pretty well, even though everybody was talking about how terrible it was going to be. They preserved the Amazon rainforest for all of us, which is very classy move to do for the earth. We need that. Acai bowls are good. They brought those to us. I think in general, Brazil is a very classy country. Yeah. When you think of the famous Brazil, you've got Ronaldo. These guys are cool. They're classy players. They're not showboats. They're not mean. They're not aggressive. They're classy.
Okay, let's start with the last point first. The Brazilian players are known for being the worst flops in all of football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, unlike Messi, Argentinian, who is known for almost never flopping and still being the greatest player on earth. Here's the main thing that makes Brazil not classy, which is they are one of the worst countries in terms of inequality. There are people who live as lavishly as possible, who live right next to millions
okay,
of
you're
people.
You're saying there's
favelas.
A big class divide? It's
I'm
a classy country?
What? No, I mean, it's a clever wordplay, and I love that you're going for it, and you can treat it as a joke, but, like, these people live in absolute worst conditions, and if you want to try to make
the
light of that... Then
strong
that's
class divisions in the country.
Yes.
It's a classy country, you'd say.
No, it's not a class... I mean, again, like the idea that you would try to make a joke out of the conditions that people in favelas have to live in is very
unclassy.
I'm not
making a joke. I'm digging at the word classy and what it means, because I actually think that the idea of classy as behavior is connected to social classiness.
Yes, of course. But that doesn't mean that. Of course it is, but it's far from what's happening in Brazil, where people of different classes live in greater discrepancies.
Yes,
than
I agree.
In other
that
countries.
Sucks. Yeah.
Well, I would say that that's classist, or I'm not sure what the word is, but it's not. I think that most people would agree that it's not classy to have a system where people are where some people are. Living with more than they could possibly need, and some people are living in the ways that Brazilians in these slums of Rio and all of their giant cities. I mean, I'm in way over my head. I don't know that much about Brazil.
Uh-huh.
But also, I'll say a couple other things.
I'm an expert.
Is that, like, if you picture Carnival,
yeah.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
I don't think people would use the word classy to describe what's going on. I think what they would, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing necessarily, because I agree with
what's
you.
What's not classy about it?
Well, it's like risque, it's lewd, it's blue, it's like sexy, it's fun.
I think
it's
you
very,
can be risque,
you
lewd,
can be,
and
but it's,
blue.
But
and be classy.
But you have to admit that those things are a bit in opposition to each other. And again, I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but I don't think you would describe a strip club as classy. That doesn't mean that a strip club is a bad place. But any place where we're talking about,
I think,
like,
I absolutely think classy is the
boundaries.
Kind of word a dude might throw on a strip club if he's like, it's not like the other one is classy place. The girls are really respectful. That's absolutely the kind of context. No, that's the
only
kind,
comparison
that
of
is
strip
the
clubs.
Kind of conversation when you're going to hear the word classy.
Okay, but not in comparison. If you're comparing it to other
when
nations,
you talk about country,
festivals.
Okay.
Healy, which would you describe as more classy? The French celebration of Bastille Day or Carnival?
Dave, I didn't find your argument to be compelling. So Healy's going to win.
Wow,
this one.
Uncompelling
well,
argument.
Sorry. I'm sorry I didn't compel you. Enough about Brazil.
Oh, nobody does.
No
I mean,
one
really.
Does. No one does.
No
one
it's
does.
So true.
Not even those people.
I think that's what makes it
those
great.
Those people?
Yeah, great the ones who are there.
Brazilians.
Brazilians, yeah.
Oh, Brazilians.
We didn't get to the nut.
The Brazil nut. The Brazil a classy nut.
It's a very classy nut.
Absolutely
you
a
say?
Classy nut.
I think it might be. I think you left one on the floor there, on the table.
So I have a game that I'd like to play when we get to host chat if we're in it.
We're in it. We're in it.
I think now we are. We weren't.
Okay, now so we are. Dave, we've played before a game called Tough Impressions.
Yeah.
Where you're given a very challenging impression to try and do, and you have to do it really fast. Like, yes,
it's a very tense game for me to watch.
Incredibly tense for everybody.
Definitely the eating vegetables of games.
Okay, well, today we're going to play a game that's called Tough Customers.
Okay.
You're going to play a series of customers that are coming to my business.
How about you say, like, I'm asking you to play a series of customers instead of just dictating me what I'm going to do?
This is what it is what's going to happen.
It is, right?
Okay, I've opened a new business that sells waffle breakfast sandwiches.
Okay.
And you are going to play a series of customers coming in. How they interact with me, that's up to you. You're doing the impressions of the tough customers.
Okay.
Are you ready?
To what end?
To the end of amusement and delight.
And you're going to play the owner of this place?
Yeah, but I'm just me. It won't be that hard for me.
What is my goal here?
To bring to life the various tough customers I imagine.
So there's... The criteria is you've...
How will we know if he's won?
How will I know? So my goal is to approximate to people that you've imagined.
Your goal is to bring to life the tough customers.
Okay. Are you looking for like voices and characters?
It works. Yeah. The tough customers.
And you're the owner.
I'm the owner.
And I'm not trying to like get my money back. I'm trying to.
They're tough. Your only direction is these are tough customers.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. First customer. This is a 98-year-old.
What? Oh, you're gonna give me.
Yeah.
I just had to come up.
No. Okay. I'm gonna give you a lot of guidance. You just have to bring the sketch to life.
Okay.
So to
go
speak.
Ahead.
You're a 98-year-old woman.
I'm a 98-year-old woman.
Yeah, named Alice. This shop is in Boston. You're an old, crotchety Boston Irish spinster. Oh, you've never been married. You're coming into the shop.
But that's it? Oh, you're not going to tell
that's
me?
All the direction you have.
Okay.
You are a tough customer. You know that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Alice.
Yeah.
Have I ordered food yet?
You can pick me. You can put me anywhere in the timeline that you want.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I had one of your sandwiches.
Yeah.
My name is Alice.
Yeah.
I had one of your sandwiches. Uh-huh. It was raw.
Raw?
I had a raw dough. I can't eat this.
Oh.
The waffle was raw. This is a health hazard to me. And I'll tell you something. You're going to kill me with this. Because the waffle isn't cooked all the way through, you see. And this is raw dough. I can't eat such a thing. It's bad for me. And I not only do I want my money back, but you're going to apologize to me for what you've done.
Okay. I'm very...
Look at this is a pot that I didn't eat all of.
Uh-huh.
You didn't touch that.
Uh-huh. I see. That is... It's a little softer
it's
than maybe...
It's more than soft. It's raw.
Yeah.
And I can't eat that. This is salmonella, et cetera, all the horrible things I'm going to get from
this. Wow.
And like I said, my name is Alice. I'm 98 years old. And I'm on death's door already. And I don't need you feeding me goddamn raw waffle dough.
Okay.
Trying to kick me out the door and trying to kick me in the grave as well.
Scene. Customer one. Let's talk about Dave's performance.
It's incredible.
It was great.
I think you said wow as if you were playing along in the role play, but really you were saying wow to his performance.
Yeah, really good job.
Still trying to figure out the rules here.
Dave, that was phenomenal.
That was a very good round of tough customers.
Woo!
I would say if I had a note, like Jewish, this character would seem a little Jewish to me.
Okay.
But,
jeez.
You know.
Jewish Boston.
All right.
Okay.
That was good.
The next customer that's coming in. He's the assistant coach of a basketball team at Florida State.
What?
That's the tough customer. The assistant coach of the basketball team at Florida State.
You the manager?
Yeah, this is my shop, yeah.
What's your name?
Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
I got a problem here.
What's...
Trying to catch my flight to fucking Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for my waffle. I'm going on 40 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. We have a little bit of backup to make...
Do you understand? We're playing Notre Dame tonight.
Okay.
I'm tipping off it. I may also be for Boston. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah.
We're tipping off at 8 p.m. I got to make a 1 p.m. flight just to get there, just barely fucking in time for the tip-off. I ordered my waffle fucking 40 minutes ago.
Okay. I can give you your money back,
I want you to give me 40 minutes back.
Okay.
And first of all, can I... And I got a number of problems.
Yeah.
What's this woman's name over here? This woman who took my order? No, not the old lady from Boston, Janine? The spinster. Sorry?
Janine?
I don't know. But she's fucking off a rocker. I asked her for... I said, we need fucking 12 waffle sandwiches as fast as possible. She goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I understand. You're in a fucking rush. And by the way, I am fucking from Boston.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, yeah, no. We deal with Russia orders all the fucking time. Uh-huh. I said, good, great. So, if anything, I felt like she was on my side. I'm 40 fucking minutes I gotta wait for waffle sandwiches? You out of your goddamn mind?
Sir, if I could give you your money back or...
Once again, the money is the least of my problems. How about you hire me a fucking Uber so I can get to Logan in time for the fucking game?
Okay, scene. Tough customers number two. What do we think?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good.
No, but I got the sense that this is a person who has to like get people to do drills.
Yeah, an aggro
and stuff.
A little frustrated with life. Mm-hmm. You definitely developed a character there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready for the third and final?
Clearly,
you're
comfortable with the Boston accent.
Yeah,
I mean that.
We got to get you out of that.
We would love
maybe.
For that to happen. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, you are Matthew Broderick.
I'm Matthew Broderick.
Yes, tough customer number three, Matthew Broderick.
Okay. What does he sound like? I don't even know.
Oh, he's a tough customer.
Oh, this is unfair. I don't know what Matthew Broderick sounds like.
Okay.
I don't even know where. Okay, so
yep.
Matthew Broderick is a... He's... Waffles.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the manager?
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah. Are you Matthew Broderick?
I am Matthew Broderick.
Oh, I loved you in The Birdcage. And
thank you very much.
Producers, you're
thank
so great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
And Sarah Jessica is your wife?
Well, I prefer not to talk about that.
Oh, all right. But just because my wife loves her, it's...
Okay, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Broderick, is there a problem?
Yeah, there is a problem. You seem to be the only person here who knows that I'm Matthew Broderick. I walk in here. I've got waitresses, I've got customers, everyone bumping into me, people not paying respect to me. I'm Matthew fucking Broderick.
You're absolutely right. That's extremely rude. Can I get you a free waffle sandwich?
I don't want a free waffle sandwich. I want you to announce the crowd that everyone assembled here that Matthew Broderick is in the fucking house. Matthew Broderick from Biloxi Blues, Ferris Bueller. Write this down.
Okay.
Write down my goddamn credits.
Okay. Biloxi Blues.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep.
I think... Inspector Gadget, been the voice of.
Yeah.
I killed two ladies in Ireland with my car. I want you to announce that.
Yep.
It's part of my...
You were with Jennifer
character.
Grey. Yep.
I was with Jennifer Grey. And the producers.
Right.
Yeah.
Sir, I'm going to get on that right away.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Broderick.
Thank you.
And scene. Third tough customer.
Okay. That one was a little harder to realize, I
pretty
think.
Bad.
But
I thought Dave did very well
under
with
the
challenging assignment.
Yeah. He gave us some tension.
That was a real Matthew Broderick. I mean, not the one that I imagine is out there, but that was a guy, definitely. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want from me here?
I want you to bring to life tough customers. Whew, that's been Host Chat / Fun and Games.
Holy cow, that
should
was good.
Should we debate?
I think we should have a debate.
Yeah,
I feel like that went downhill fast.
Disagree.
No.
I thought that was great.
No.
Started strong. It was compelling, as Medina says.
Yeah, it was compelling.
Okay.
Well, throughout. It was compelling throughout, Davis.
Okay. Thank
I've you. Got a debate topic.
Great.
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool.
Let's get back into our comfort zone here. Healy, why don't you take the pro?
Okay.
And here's the topic. It's a listener submitted by listener Daniel H.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Daniel. Topic is, it would be more fun to be head chef at McDonald's headquarters than head chef at a Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, great. I love this top. I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro, and I think it would be more fun to be head chef at McDonald's headquarters than at a Michelin restaurant. Two reasons. One, freedom to experiment. Like, you got to imagine they're just opening up all kinds of possibilities at McDonald's, desserts, breakfast, salads, drink options. This is a place that innovates, that comes up with interesting, bizarre food items. They always have. This is a place that is expanded from just being hamburgers to they brought out the chicken nugget. They invented the quarter pounder. Like, big, wild inventions are wide open at McDonald's. That's great. Second point, no front of the house interaction. You're in a scientific lab. You're in McDonald's headquarters. You're just in the lab with thinking. There's no barrier between your creativity and trying stuff. The guy who's a head chef at a Michelin star restaurant, he's got to come out front. He's got to meet a customer. He's got to shake hands. So-and-so's here. He's got, oh, Laura Linney's here. You got to say hi to Laura Linney. We got to keep the menu updated. Also, as we know about Michelin star places,
hey, you
like,
can count on Laura Linney.
When these
up.
Guys get a Michelin star, they're on edge, like basically for the rest of their lives. There are tales of restaurateurs killing themselves when they lost a Michelin star. It's just a very high stakes game that's controlled by some like food critics. It's not anything that your life is out of your control. It depends on this blessing that's bestowed by a French tire guide, basically. And that is too stressful and no fun. So I think it'd be way more fun to be inventing and creating in a food laboratory at McDonald's, the next generation of wonderful foods to lure in kids and adults, than it would be to be the head chef at a Michelin one-star restaurant.
Okay, well, that was an exhausting, lengthy argument that really only showed your gross misunderstanding of how restaurants work. If you're the head chef at a Michelin restaurant, you're not in charge of front of house. You don't need to talk to the patrons. You don't need to talk to Laura Linney. There's someone who handles that for you. You're not the general manager. It doesn't matter. What you are probably, which you didn't point out, is that you're probably the owner of the restaurant, and you have way more freedom than the person who's the head chef at this McDonald's lab. The idea that the person at the McDonald's lab is free to do what they ever want is so absurd. Why? McDonald's is a giant corporation. You're going to have to work within their construct, within their limitations. You're going to have to answer to 30 different people. You're not the owner of McDonald's. You're not even on the board of McDonald's. You don't get to actually make decisions. You get to present things. Here's the other problem, by the way, with McDonald's right now in 2017, they're being pulled in 50 different directions. They don't know what they are. McDonald's is actually having a crisis. Do they need more healthy foods? Should they be going back to McDonald's quote-unquote classic? Here's the biggest problem with being what the main reason why it is not fun to be in charge of to be the head chef at McDonald's, whatever we're calling it. You're doing evil. You're making people sick. You're basically killing people by making it more fun, delicious for people to eat these foods. You're an instrument of evil, and you have to sleep with that every night. If you're the head chef of a Michelin star restaurant, much unlike the McDonald's food guy, if you want, you close your restaurant down for 3 months. You say, we're all going to go, you know what? We're moving the whole restaurant. We're moving it to Spain. We're moving it to Chile. We're moving it to California. And we're going to do local produce from there. You truly have actual freedom, unlike a cog in a horrible machine, which is what the head chef of McDonald's is.
Unfortunately, Dave, you've premised your argument on some fantasy life of what it's like to be the head chef of a Michelin restaurant. But you're owning a Michelin restaurant. You have tons of people who depend on you. Who's to say this is a stable, profitable restaurant? Owning your own business is very stressful.
Totally
you
true.
Have to. You but the idea that have to make it.
The idea that a job that isn't high stress can't also be enormously fun is ridiculous. And I think you and I have both been in jobs that sometimes the most stressful job you have is also the most rewarding, is the most fun. Yes, you have people depending on you, but it's certainly possible to hold two thoughts in your head. It's okay to know, like, oh man, there's a lot riding on this. But also, if I want, I can literally wander into the forest and pick berries and put that on the menu.
Yeah,
if I
but
want.
Then call coming back for the restaurant. There's been a fire in the kitchen. Tonight's dinner service is ruined, and Phil Jackson is coming in.
It's just as you like got a big, a but you're fire stressed out.
No. If you work at McDonald's,
I mean, you have
to
say there's a fire. In
you
the
have
kitchen.
The safety and security of working for the McDonald's Corporation. And what have they hired you to do? Experiment. develop, invent, and I know create.
You're going
to
hate
and
this.
And by the way, come look, you put it as evil. I don't think there's any, it's necessary at all to think about it that way. It's your job is, look, we're trying to keep McDonald's relevant.
You're just doing your job. You just do what you're
told.
Can
you invent an acai bowl for us that kids will like? One of our missions here at McDonald's is to sell kids more vegetables. Can you help us?
That has never been
a mission
at McDonald's.
Can you help us come up with clever ways to do that?
You know it. The mission at McDonald's vis-a-vis children is to get them hooked early, to get them hooked on salt, fat, cheese, meat, all things that are bad for you. And if they're introducing an acai bowl for children, you know that it's only because they're also trying to get them Chicken McNuggets as well. Yes, you're just doing your job. And yeah, there's safety and security in working for McDonald's. But you know damn well that there's safety and security for working for other... I know you don't want me to say it, but obviously there was safety and security in working for the Nazi army. That doesn't mean... Whatever, pick your evil institution.
Boo. Come on, man. You're a guy at McDonald's. Your mission is, let's come up with some interesting
foods. You're an officer in the SS.
That's bringing people into McDonald's.
Let's have some fun with it.
Okay, well, if that's how it's going to be, then this is going to be a tiresome debate.
Do you really... I mean, all I have to do is win the debate, Healy. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to, like... do
impersonate
anything.
Tough customers at a waffle shop.
Yeah, that was, hey man, we had a fun host chat and now we're here to get down the nitty gritty of the debate.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you know what? Let's make it a little, okay, let's say you're working for ExxonMobil. How's that?
Okay.
So it's about as morally gray, would you say, as working for McDonald's?
I put oil in my car. I need oil from ExxonMobil.
Meaning what?
Meaning, like, I don't think they're an evil company. I think they're an efficient way of extracting something the world needs.
Okay, bad example. Pick a company that's as evil as McDonald's.
I don't think McDonald's is evil. I don't think
that in your heart of hearts you actually believe that. And I think you know
I don't think that they're evil. I think they're selling a product that people really enjoy. They bring a lot of joy and happiness to people's lives. It's an inexpensive food that people rely on. It's a safe place that people depend on. And if your job is to come up with new foods to sell at McDonald's, that sounds like a job of invention and development, stimulating, invigorating. Look,
and you know what? Actually,
like with any job, is going to come down to, are your coworkers cool? Is your boss cool? Are we having fun? You know, maybe that's true at a Michelin restaurant. But as a general rule, a guy who's given license to experiment and invent is going to have more fun than a guy who is desperately trying to keep his business afloat.
Yeah, but you're saying that as if trying to keep your business afloat precludes
also,
you
by the way,
from experimentation,
resources.
Which is the opposite.
Imagine
of the
massive resources that are given to a guy who's running the test kitchen at McDonald's. He's just got basically an infinite checkbook behind him to come up with whatever he can come up with. That's cool. I mean, that guy can say, like, hey, let's see if we can get kids to eat fried turnips and play with fried turnips for a year.
Actually,
get to know the turnips, get to know the suppliers. Is it going to work out? He's having meetings with the logistics people.
Right.
That's kind
if
of
you know
interesting.
Anything about McDonald's at all, you know that there's actually severe limitations on what you can do. Everything that you're possibly trying to do food-wise has to be manufacturable within the small footprint of a McDonald's kitchen. So if you can't microwave it, fry it, or prepare it,
I mean,
in
as
the back
you know,
of a...
challenges are one of the great ways to come up with
okay,
creative
so which
ideas.
Argument is it, Healy? Is it that they have, you've now on both sides of the issue. You're now saying that limitations are what make it fun, but earlier you said that they have indispensable resources.
No,
they
like,
can do anything they want.
Here are the resources.
So which one is it?
Here are the resources. They're basically limitless. Here are the limitations. It has to be able to be made in a McDonald's. That's like, as you and I have known in our professional life, that's when we were in happy work situations, it's like that. I'm going to conclude my argument there. It's like that. It's like somebody saying, here's a TV show. You got a lot of money, but it has to be 22 minutes and you got to make 22 episodes of them. Got it. Great.
Okay. I would rather have, here's an amazing restaurant that already has a sterling reputation. You could do literally anything you want with the menu on any night. And you're probably going to have access to the greatest ingredients that are actually healthy if you want them to be. And that is good for people. And that is more fun.
Wow. Fun. What a great debate. Everyone's in suspense.
I don't think Healy enjoyed that.
I loved it. I thought it was a good debate. Yeah.
No, I know that Healy enjoyed it. He loves McDonald's. He loves to defend McDonald's.
I do.
And, you know, I thought it was pretty close there. And then, Dave, the Nazi thing is always a bad road to go down. And
but
then
it's
Healy,
true!
And then Healy surged at the end there. And so I'm...
What's the better thing to say? What should I choose to say?
I don't know. I mean, the fact is McDonald's and the Nazis are not equivalent.
No, they're just
they're not.
No, of course they're not. But the point is that when you make the point, I know that they're not equivalent, but when you say that you're just doing your job, that to me is the equivalent.
Yeah, but I don't think I was leaning on doing their job. You know, yes,
obviously the scale and degree of things is different. Yeah. I understand that. So do our listeners.
Yeah.
But that's not... That doesn't excuse you from the morality of what's
Have you heard
going
about
on.
That McDonald's where they have, like, it's the really big one where it's like a Vegas buffet and they've got all the different stations and they make the gourmet pizza. And I don't know, somewhere in the Midwest. I read
this
about
is a legend.
The next point that I wanted to get to.
Tweet about it.
I know we don't have a lot of time. But the point that I wanted to get to was, like, the bar is so high at McDonald's. You're going up against the guy who invented the McNugget.
That's like the astronauts being like, do I have what it takes? Am I going to be as good as John Glenn?
It's like stepping onto the floor at Boston Garden. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's an argument for me. Can I play with the guy who invented the quarter pounder? That's him. Doug Abelson.
Weird.
Well, guys, we'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. We'll see you next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.